Will Ferrell stars in the new comedy Anchorman, about a local TV news show set in the 70s. Ferrell co-wrote the script with director and former Saturday Night Live head writer Adam McKay. Christina Applegate co-stars as a rival reporter eyeing an anchor spot. David Edelstein has this review.
Watching Anchorman, I flash back to a time when I was a kid. I was in a restaurant, and who sits down at the next table but the local station's anchorman and anchorwoman? Today we'd call them anchor persons, but this was the 70s. It must have been between the 6 and 11 o'clock news, so they had traces of caramel pancake makeup. But it was the guy's hair I couldn't take my eyes off. It was so dark and wavy and confident, like his voice, which had such resonance you could hear it all over the restaurant, whether you wanted to or not. No mere mortal was in our midst. Even if all he did was read other people's words off a teleprompter, the TV camera invested this boob with the kind of authority that made him seem more real than any of us. Anchorman comes on as a satire of that era. Before, a prologue tells us there was cable, and you were stuck with three local stations and PBS. Will Ferrell, who co-wrote the movie with the director, Adam McKay, plays Ron Burgundy, one of those helmet hair guys, and a swaggering San Diego demigod. The film shows everyone from infants to mean, hairy bikers watching him in awe. So do we, although for different reasons. He has thick eyebrows and a dark caterpillar mustache that doesn't quite make it up to the bottom of his nose, giving it a glued-on look. And when he struts around shirtless, fancying himself quite the babe magnet, the lack of visible musculature is breathtaking. His attempt at seducing Christina Applegate as the station's new hire, Veronica Cornerstone, is the first of the movie's many gross-outs.
1,001. 1,002.
Mr. Burgundy.
1,003.
Helen said that you needed to see me.
Oh, Miss Corningstone. I wasn't expecting company. Just doing my workout. Tuesday's arms and back.
Well, you asked me to come by, sir.
Oh, did I?
Yes.
Oh, it's a deep burn. Oh, it's so deep. Ah. Oh, I could barely lift my right arm because I did so many. I don't know if you heard me counting. I did over 1,000. You have your ubulus muscle that connects to the upper dorsimus. It's boring, but it's part of my life. I'm just going to grab this shirt if you don't mind. Just watch out for the guns. They'll get you.
You are pathetic. This has to be the feeblest pickup attempt that I have ever encountered. You know, I expected it from the rest of them, Mr. Burgundy, but not from you.
Anchorman is about Ron's seduction of Veronica and about their ferocious rivalry when she, a female, ends up as his co-anchor, and about the way that this becomes empowering to all the subservient women at the station. No, scratch that. It's not about any of those tired old romantic feminist cliches. What it's really about is pushing the comedy envelope. Here's how that works. They take a narrative structure that is extremely conventional. Beat by beat, it could be that awful Robert Redford, Michelle Pfeiffer picture, up close and personal. Now Ferrell and McKay take those scenes and don't just add jokes. They add jokes so broad the scenes go past dumb, past unreal, and into some stratosphere of camp that throws you totally out of the movie. Men discussing love break unself-consciously into a dainty pop tune, then snap back into brusque male conversation. Burgundy and his sports guy and weatherman and investigative reporter cross paths with rival anchor teams like street gangs. They trade insults about toilets and their mothers. And in one spectacular sequence, packed with star cameos, they go at it with guns and knives and medieval instruments. You're not laughing at Anchorman. You're laughing at formula movie rituals blown sky high. Ferrell isn't one of those natural clowns who have rubbery features or a plastic body. His timing isn't the sharpest. He's not a virtuoso. But he gets huge laughs because he's not afraid to take a joke to the next level, the way the Marx Brothers always did. Anchorman has a free associational quality and something else, an atmosphere of fooling around and taking chances. And this grab-bag approach has amazing cumulative power, so that the clunkers don't matter. You're finally just relaxed and happy, enjoying the gifted ensemble, and waiting to get smacked with the next outlandish gag. This is an ugly-looking movie, and the lighting does no favors for Christina Applegate. Its preoccupations are smutty and infantile, its targets obvious. Yet it strides above its crudeness like a colossus. It's smart people telling dumb jokes with a brilliant sense of irony. Anchorman gives you permission to laugh like an idiot.
David Edelstein is film critic for Slate.